Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
You're tuned in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, guiding your gridiron journey, none other than your host, former NFL lineman, Ross Tucker.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Wisdom Wednesday, presented, of course, as always, by DraftKings. Love those dudes, love Wisdom Wednesdays. We got the perfect guest today. I don't know if this is even the proper intro for him when we bring him on, but the guy's basically the co-creator, co-inventor. I don't know. He'll probably say not really, but we'll get to him in a second. Eric Galco, who I think a lot of you know because he's been on the College Draft Podcast before. Unbelievable job with Optimum Scouting, as well as the Shrine Bowl, and a bunch of other things. But I don't know that I even realized it until Tuesday that he was involved with the new kickoff rule. We'll get to that momentarily. You guys know the deal. I love winners. We'll have winners on tomorrow's show with Greg Cosell, which I know you guys love, at Ross Tucker NFL, at Ross Tucker Pod. On social media, if you guys want to spread the word somehow, you can even just rate and review the show. Love those of you who take advantage of the sponsors, of course. Send that to me, Ross at RossTucker.com. And then the YouTube shout out, always very cool as well, YouTube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Love doing those videos for you and love the big show.
The big show.
All right, check him out on social media, at Eric Galco, G-A-L-K-O. He's been on College Draft before. He's as good as there is out there in terms of the scouting community. In fact, as we're talking right now, Eric is in Frisco, Texas for the Big 12 Pro Day, which makes a lot of sense to me, by the way, Eric. I didn't even hear about this until you and I were talking before we started recording that there's one pro day for the entire conference. That makes a lot of sense to me. There was a day last week where it was like Alabama, Ohio State, yep, USC all had their pro days on the same day. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and allows, you know, first off, it makes all the Big 12 teams aren't deciding, do I go to Texas Tech's pro day or Iowa State's pro? They can all be at one. And also, if you're a GM and decision maker, you may not love one player from this school, but you like a couple guys here, like a couple guys here, it's more worth your time to see a lot of guys in one area across 2 days than just go off to one off campuses here or there too. So I think this may be the future of how a lot of conference, especially mid-sized, the MAC conference, Conference USA, having one unified pro day. There's some negatives, but I think for the positives, it helps these players out quite a bit.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense for sure. The other thing that makes a lot of sense, Eric, to me at least, is the new kickoff rule. So you were listening during the intro when I kind of laid it out there. I don't know if I laid it on too thick or not, but let's start at the beginning and sort of the genesis of the NFL's new kickoff rule and how you were fortunate to be a part of it.
Yeah. Well, I'll give a lot of credit first and foremost to Sam Schwartzstein, who this was really his brainchild. He led a lot of this discussion, a lot of the communications with people in the special teams community, a lot of creative people outside of football. He did all that research back in early 2018 when the XFL had just gotten launched. Vince McMahon hired Oliver Luck to be the commissioner. Sam was one of the first couple hires that Oliver brought on, and he was tasked with really taking away plays that don't matter in the game of football. And there's punt aspects, there's extra point aspects the XFL did. There's replay things the XFL did, but the kickoff is really the most unique one that took a lot of time. And when I was brought on in early 2018, we were down at junior colleges in Mississippi using JUCO players to test this out, using semi-pro guys. We probably tested this 30 times across different days and across about 2 years before we actually put it into a game in the XFL. And what we were testing was kind of the edges. How is it refereed? Where do you line up everybody that's involved in this unique kickoff? What are the rules if things go awry? You know, what's the purpose of doing this? And Sam, myself, coming from more data analytics background, we wanted to be able to verify everything you said as well, too. So it took over 2 years to really test and feel comfortable with it. And I think it's a credit to our team that the NFL is not only adopting this new kickoff, which is radically different, they're doing it without ever putting it into practice in an NFL preseason game or testing it out. They really trust it's going to work for the long haul right away this season.
Yeah, I mean, dude, you helped change the sport of football. And honestly, Eric, probably this might be, especially probably for casual fans, but even for diehards, this might be the most clearly visible difference in the sport that they've seen in their lifetimes, right? Like, I mean, the expression, the opening kickoff and running down on the kickoff and all that stuff, like you're changing the sport of football in a really, I think, a positive way because A, it's a lot safer than the play that ended my career as I herniated a disc in my neck on the four-man wedge in 2007 against the Ravens. But also, you're keeping the play in the game and keeping it an exciting and a play, to use your words, that matters.
Yeah, and I think it's also unique, too, because a lot of the changes that happen in football, whether it's situational or strategic, come from the high school level and then up to college, and then the NFL starts to be adapting. The NFL here is going to be the only football played in America this year that's going to use the XFL kickoff. Even the UFL, which is a mix of the XFL and the USFL, they're not even going to use it. So the NFL is really being a thought leader on this one and moving things forward before having someone else make it for them, which I think is great progress for the NFL, who's historically been more focused on, you know, having things come up to the rank and being tried and tested. The NFL wants to make a drastic improvement here, and they made the bold choice to do that.
So before I get too much further down the line, Eric, I gave you an intro. I don't know if I nailed it. What are all the different things you're doing now?
Yeah, I'm the director of the East-West Shrine Bowl, college all-star game featuring first-round picks, all the best players the past 99 years in college football. That's my main focus on a day-to-day basis is now leading the Shrine Bowl. I took over the Shrine Bowl back in 2021, right after the XFL ended due to COVID. I transitioned my role at the XFL as an executive to now being at the East-West Shrine Bowl.
And what were you doing with the XFL that you were helping Sam develop this stuff? What was your role there?
Yeah, my official title was director of player personnel for the entire league. But I was, you know, at the XFL, we were a pretty lean team. So there wasn't like a 20-person team to kind of do this all. It was myself and Sam, Justin King, Oliver Luck, Doug Whaley, and Brian Kilmeade. And that's about it that developed this XFL kickoff, a five-man team going to JUCOs in Mississippi or semi-pro in Dallas, Texas, or York Hall football in Jacksonville and going across the country to test this out. So we all had different major titles. But again, back then, the XFL was a very lean team as you're trying to, as you kind of said, change football in hindsight.
So, you know, I think it's better done visually.
Yeah.
And there are some things out there on social media that people can check out. But if you had to try to describe the new kickoff using just a word picture, Eric, how would you describe it?
Yeah, what the goal it's trying to accomplish is keeping what we love about the past NFL kickoff, which is having returner catch the ball deep, make a couple plays, and break a big play if that's possible. And for the kickoff team, come downfield and make a tackle on the ball character, you know, pretty quickly. What the kickoff was designed to do was, it's A, if you kick it in the end zone, now the ball goes out to the 30 instead of the 25, which in the XFL is actually the 40. And kick out of bounds, it's even a further penalty, which incentivizes just to keep the kick in play. But secondly, forever it was, the kickoff team was right next to the kick return team. And the kick return team would drop back 15, 20, 30 yards, create this wedge, stop, and try to hoard off people coming downfield at high velocity around the 30, 35-yard line. And now what we've done is saying, hey, let's make that collision point where someone's coming full force and someone's trying to pivot and turn and get upfield. And let's make that more close together. And then say, hey, when the returner catches the ball, those two parties, the kick return and the kickoff team, are going to meet around the 30, 35-yard line. And they can collide there, reducing injuries, but keeping the cool factor of the play involved. And the NFL is a little bit different than what we had in the XFL, but the crux of it is the kickoff team is lined up at about the 40-yard line, kick returns about the 35-yard line, and they're going to meet once the ball's caught, and the returner can run upfield after that.
What are some of the things that teams should be considering in your mind, whether it is personnel, whether it is ways to return it, whether it's ways to kick it? Obviously, I saw your thread on social media, and I encourage people to check it out, at Eric Galico, because he kind of went through this. But for those of you that aren't on social media, Eric, just sort of the considerations really for everybody involved.
Yeah, I think one of the coolest things initially is the play goes from being relying on high velocity on the kickoff team and kind of more twitch reaction and just kind of like, hey, can this returner get through what's going to be a lot of collisions up front and then hopefully bounce free? It turns more randomness to more of a run play in the run game. And it makes your offensive defensive line, 5 yards apart, but really able to kind of do some really creative things. And I think we're going to see a lot of special teams coaches, run power, pulling guards in this play, right, across the field, or maybe running a zone scheme and having a preference there because the benefits you have there as well too. So I think it gives special teams coaches a little more creativity and not just saying, hey, like, how do we create our wedge or how do we create this play, but actually designing plays on a whiteboard and saying, hey, we're going to pull this, our trick play is going to be this. So I think it gives special teams coaches a little more flexibility to be creative on an offensive or defensive standpoint. And it's going to make returners, I think, a little more focused on their vision, their ability to one cut and explode upfield, because I kind of said in the thread, in the old kickoff, when there was a lane, it could be really big, and you want to have a guy as fast as possible to get through that lane and get upfield. Now the lanes are going to be a little bit smaller, but as an offense or as a kick return team, you'll be able to actually set those lanes up more like a running back going through a hole. So I think you'll see teams kind of shift from those speed demons as returners to more really running backs or Deebo Samuel, Cordarrelle Patterson types, who are receivers slash running backs who have explosiveness, who can really make plays upfield. And then last but not least, to kind of counteract that, your blockers or the kick return team are going to be more like your tight ends, receivers, fullbacks in space on run plays, and therefore your defense, more linebackers and safeties. So those positions will kind of increase in value in the back end of NFL teams' rosters.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions, is just what position groups do you think teams will go heavier on? What body types do you think that they will now? It's interesting. I've noticed, Eric, it used to be back in the day, 5 or 6 guys were on the team just because of special teams.
Right.
It's not really like, I mean, now it's like 2 maybe. Like, it's just, it's not really like that. They don't allocate as much as special teams. I wonder if that sort of if that pendulum swings back to having more guys on core special teams guys. And honestly, the way it's structured, it might be some of the same guys that are good as punt hold up guys or as, guys that release on punts. It's a more similar skill set to that, I think, than the old kickoff. So guys that are good at that might be good at both, the punt return and punt coverage. It's more similar now to the kick return and kick coverage.
Yeah, I think for a while, we talk about special teams aces in the draft or in the NFL that weren't returners. We really talk about gunners, right? That's the position that mattered because the kickoff was kind of taken out of the game for the most part, right? 90 plus percent of kickoffs were kicked out of bounds or in the end zone, I think the last couple of years. So you really didn't need special teams aces for those type of plays where now you do, and now you do in a really unique way. Kickoffs, on average, teams average between 5 and 6 kickoffs per game per team. So that's about 10, 11 plays that are now back in the game that weren't there just a year ago. By comparison, right, most teams run 5, 6, 7 red zone plays a game, right? So you're kind of adding a whole package of plays now back involved. And the smart teams that, Bill Belichick always known for his focus on special teams as well, and the third. Now, when you combine punt and kickoff, it truly is going to be a third again for these rosters. So you'll see a lot more teams focus on those gunner positions, which are usually receivers or corners and big body types. You'll have some of those. But again, you're going to want guys on your return team who are blockers, right? Tight ends, receivers who are willing and have shown a willingness to block, fullbacks that can block, running backs that can block, and then vice versa, safeties, corners, linebackers that can shed blocks. And I think you're going to have a lot of guys who can be really impact guys by making plays on kickoff. Because again, if you have a good linebacker or safety who can block shed, you're going to save yourself 5, 10, even 15 yards on a return on field position, which is super, super bad.
It's going to be a real play again, which means it's not going to be time to go grab some Labatt Blue Lights from your fridge and skip the kickoff. You're going to have to drink them during the commercial or grab it during the commercial. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. What about the kick itself, Eric? Because yeah. I've already seen people suggesting, and I think it was Steve Fezzik, my co-host on my Even Money Betting podcast, based on the NFL's rules, I don't know if this was your rules as well, but based on the NFL rules, he thinks kickers, teams are going to teach kickers to try to line drive the ball into the end zone because that's an automatic touchback for and a 20-yard ball at the 20-yard line. Your thoughts on that?
So it'll be at the 30-yard line if it's out of the end zone. So you are incentivized a little bit to say, hey, can we have these guys keep it in play a little bit? One of the downsides of a line drive kick is that the both teams don't move until the returner catches the ball. And a line drive kick, we've learned, at least the XFL, allowed the returner to get more of a head start upfield. Right? When the ball's high in the air, you got to time it and look at it and come down and catch it. More line drive plays, a returner who's smart and is trained in this can actually get a running start a little bit and get a huge, huge advantage momentum-wise on defenders. So I think you'll see teams look at that. I think the NFL late made a change. I think it was going to be the 35-yard line if it was out of the end zone. Now the 30-yard line, which maybe I don't necessarily agree with entirely for that exact reason. But I think overall, you'll see some teams, especially when teams later in the season really start to figure out how to return and how to score big, get big plays and be really creative when the offense kind of catches up to how this is all done. You'll see teams maybe kick out of the end zone and go at the 30-yard line. But again, hey, the average position now 5 yards up at the 30-yard line, that matters. You know how that goes. 5, 6, 7 yards early starting position saves you maybe a half a first down or a first down in your drive. So I think it'll be really intriguing how teams handle it. And my hunch is that teams are going to want to keep the ball in play and trust their kickoff team because you can, the same token, if you have a good guy on kickoff and can get upfield and block shed, you can stop that play easily in a 20, 25-yard with a guy who's a good defender.
Is the biggest negative, Eric, like just the no more surprise onsides? Is it, I mean, which by the way, it doesn't really happen that often anyway, but is that the biggest negative you think?
That's the only negative we learned, right? We knew that coming in. That's the one downside is that you take away surprise onside. Based off our data back then, that was about 1% of kicks were onside kickoffs. So we're taking away 0.1% of all kickoffs that were traditional a year ago, which I think is a worthwhile replacement to get back 10 plays a game in the kickoff too. And I will say that I think this first year, maybe the first 2 years, we'll see a little bit of players not being used to this, right? The first year, I've talked to a couple NFL special teams coaches and they're prepared more than I actually would have thought. And they're I'm not insulting them, but like I didn't think it was so creative already. I've talked to coaches who are really creative in what they're going to do because they've thought about this for a while now, for the last 5, 6, 7 months. And even a year ago, they brought this up in their committees. But I think players will take some time. We've learned that players really took a little while just because it's so different. It's so foreign. And even, like I said, as a run blocking play, you know, some receivers and running backs have never been in an outside zone play before, right? And they got to learn what that even looks like in this new setting as well, too. So I think we'll see players be late to adapt. And then, again, the rookies coming into the NFL in the 2025 draft, they won't do this in college. It'll be new for them as well, too. So there'll be a learning curve, I think, the first 8, 9 games of the NFL season and probably overall the first 2 years before it really, I think, blossoms into a play that could be truly a touchdown on any time it's kicked off.
Last question, Eric. Give me your thoughts. Give me one thought on the draft. Just one thought on the draft that maybe people aren't talking enough about. Year of the quarterback, the O-line. Is there a position group? Is there something that jumps out to you specifically about the 2024 draft?
A couple things. Number one, offensive linemen are going earlier than people think. It's a deep offensive line class, but teams are not going to pass on left tackles. You might see 6 go in the top 15, 16 picks, even with the quarterbacks there as well, too. But the other interesting wrinkle, too, is if I think what happens will be the top 4 picks will all be quarterbacks, don't be surprised if maybe only one quarterback goes at all on day 2 of the draft. We could have a delta where it's the top 4 picks and then maybe one until pick 100 on the day 3 of the NFL draft. So I think teams are saying, hey, if we can get our guy, let's move up. If not, maybe we'll wait until late day two, early day three for a quarterback as well, too. So those Bo Nixes, Michael Penix, Spencer Rattlers, Devin Learys, and those guys, maybe day two picks other years. This year might be pushed to day three.
Wow, very interesting stuff. Check him out on social media. As you can tell, he's all over it. He's fantastic. He's on the road. Still came on the show. Truly appreciate it. At Eric Galco, obviously a guy you need to follow. Eric, thank you so much for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
Man, you are not going to want to miss any part of the action for any of these games this year based on what Eric said. So you know what you need to do? Get the Game Time app on your phone. I'm a gigantic fan of this. I love the seat views. You get a panoramic view from your seat in the app before you buy. The lowest price guarantee or Game Time credits you 110% of the difference. They've got flash deals, zone deals, last minute deals for those of you that like to go to shows or concerts. Obviously, there's March Madness is going on, the NCAA tournament. We've got the NFL schedule be released soon. There's a lot going on. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code Ross for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code ROSS for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Tuck's Takes.
All right, Ross. So the NFL, they banned the hip drop tackle. The coaches, they will now get an extra challenge if they get even one of their first two right. And as discussed, the hybrid kickoff rule was passed.
So the hip drop tackle, let me just tell you guys, they're not going to call this very often. They're going, if they see it, they're going to find the guy after the game. And these guys are going to try to stop doing it because they don't want to lose their money. Very hard to officiate. And by the way, it's a terrible idea to be throwing a lot of flags for something that most fans watching will have never heard of and don't know what it is. That's not good for anybody, right? So I think they'll do a pretty good job of sort of legislating these with fines, and then players will start to come up with different ways to tackle a guy and not fall on the back of their legs. Sort of like the horse collar part of it. I love the extra challenge because if you get one right, you should get another one. And I'm a big fan of the new hybrid kickoff rule. I just, the touchback, we had Jeff Miller on at the Super, you know, earlier in the offseason, 22% were returned. I mean, it just became a totally ineffectual non-play that like wasn't even like, it was like, oh, it's a touchback. Oh, it's a touchback. Like this, now it's interesting. Now it's exciting. Let's do it.
Couple scheduling notes. Bears versus Texans will be the 2024 Hall of Fame game, and the NFL is going to play two games on Christmas Day this year.
Yeah, I got thoughts on both these. First of all, Bears-Texans, boy, that's terrible news. That means you go to training camp at least a week before every other team. Players hate that. And as far as Christmas, I'm going to make that my Labatt take of the week, Jack. Presented by Labatt Blue Light, the pristine Canadian Pilsner. Enjoy your beers together so you can live life to the power of we. Always do it responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. I see so many people up in arms about player safety because of the two Wednesday Christmas Day games. First of all, Albert Breer said that the NFL is going to allow the networks to bid on both those games. So just off the top of my head, right? Peacock paid $110 million for a playoff game. You see the ratings for the Christmas games last year? It's like almost 30 million people. So let's just say, for argument's sake, it's $150 million each. So that's $300 million, of which the players get almost 50%. It's 48.5%, but let's just say it's 50%. Again, make the math easy for me. That's $150 million that goes into the salary cap for the players. There's like 1,600 players. Again, let's make the math easy for me. Let's say there's 1,500 players. That's $100,000 a player. $100,000 a player that goes into the system. So I exaggerate. Whatever. So let's say it's $75,000 or $50,000. If you went in NFL locker rooms and you said to the guys, hey, fellas, there's a 12.5% chance. Four teams are going to have to play on Christmas. 12.5% chance that you'll have to play one of the 17 games already scheduled on short rest. but everybody gets an extra $75,000. Are you kidding me? 99% of the guys would sign up for that immediately. Immediately. Even if it was 50 grand, 99% of the 12% chance that we have to play on short rest for a game we're already playing in front of 30 million, 30 million people? Give me a break.
Wide receiver Quez Watkins signs the Steelers. Commanders sign offensive line Michael Dieter. Steelers sign kick returner Cordell Patterson. Rams bring in Tre'Davious White, cornerback. Ravens sign offensive lineman Josh Jones. Eagles sign Paris Campbell. Chargers sign Kristen Fulton, the cornerback. Bills sign defensive lineman Austin Johnson. And the Lions release cornerback Cam Sutton.
So I guess what's notable there is the Steelers bringing in Cordell Patterson, Rams signing Tre'Davious White coming off the torn Achilles, and Cam Sutton kind of knew that was going to happen. Other than that, I think we're done here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also check out Even Money, Fantasy Feast, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network on Samsung TV Plus, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.
Shout out myfrontpagestory.com. Best birthday gift, best anniversary gift. It's a listener owned, which is awesome. Kind of like backofficeschedule.com, steakhouse sports.com, humanheadnyc.com, sporticulture, Pizza Boy Brewing.